And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
How's it going, everybody? Tuesday, April 26th edition, NHL Awards, Fantasy Awards, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pete and Nick here with you. Nick, you're suited up, ready to go, ready to dish out some awards, right, for better or worse.
I was going to say, my man, at least one of us got the memo today. I am fired up. This is one of my favorite shows to do of the season where we hand out our year-end hardware in fantasy hockey. How are you?
Yeah, my work from home policy says no suits, so that's why I'm going that route. But anyway, yeah, there's so much to get to here. There are so many guys. People are telling us left and right, right, Nick, that they're winning their fantasy championships because of our show. First of all, it's up to the individual fantasy manager, right, to make all the moves that put you over the top. We've, of course, provided some guidance, and we've seen a lot of these storylines come a long way since preseason drafts. I mean, you look at, right, some of the highest ranked players in the league this season, we're nowhere near the top 100 overall.
Today's buzzword, Pete, is value, for better or for worse. And I'm not talking about marriage, but I think throughout the season, fantasy owners have certainly found value and some others haven't. And that will be the theme of this show over the next little while, because it's just been another crazy fantasy hockey season. We always have stories like this, and we also have guys who bomb, who I can't wait to get to.
Right. And I mean, let's start off with what the Florida Panthers have done, you know, closing in on the President's Trophy and everything that they've done with their long winning streak prior to the loss against Tampa tail end of the season. But I mean, this team has been littered with fantasy studs. I think Huberto leads the list. I think you can make an argument that Huberto has been the overall MVP. And when you match him up against whoever it is, McDavid, Ovechkin, some of those highly ranked guys, you were able to get Huberto probably around the wraparound, maybe even a little bit later in the first round. And I mean, the numbers this guy's putting up this season have been astronomical.
Tremendous. And the other thing we'll get to throughout this podcast is ADP, average draft position, and we'll be utilizing it a lot. So stay tuned for that. And when you look at Jonathan Huberto, I was looking up his ADP around 16, which means round two. And I just think in general, and we expect this, Pete, the funny thing about the Panthers, Spencer Knight was a big topic of conversation. And well, he was another bomb, and I'd love to bomb him later on. But for all the Spencer Knights on that team, there's like a billion and one guys who have really exceeded expectations. You could even go to that third line with Mason Marchment, Anton Lundell. There's just unbelievable depth. And Claude Giroux, how his value really picked up post-deadline going from Philadelphia to Florida. But certainly, I think you want to look, Pete, at positional MVPs. My left winger has to be Jonathan Huberto, 30 goals, 85 assists, 115 points, plus 37 as we speak right now. He was an absolute monster. And Pete, I don't know about you, if I'm handicapping things right now, I think Jonathan Huberto is winning my Hart Trophy. I don't know if you feel the same.
I mean, the scoring title and the Hart Trophy are different things, obviously. I would say that, you know, what Huberto has done offensively has been arguably second to none because of that ADP that you mentioned in the teens. I don't think he's the most valuable player to his team. You can convince me otherwise, but that team is loaded. Like we said, the only disappointment on that roster is Ekblad because he got injured. And then, of course, Spencer Knight, who, me included, I had him around the top 10 overall among goalies, and it's disappointing. We expected him to come along too soon. Bobrovsky had a solid season, wasn't going away anytime in the near future, and he's not even for next year or the year after that, most likely. So you were telling me in the preseason, temper your expectations. I remember you mentioned Carter Hart and that whole ordeal. So yeah, you were right in hindsight about Spencer Knight. But other than that, yeah, this team is just was locked and loaded from the beginning, and they've fully rewarded anybody out there who drafted like five plus guys from the Florida Panthers.
And Pete, the irony for me, this is my hot take potentially of the year. The Florida Panthers will finish the season with Spencer Knight as their goalie. Take that to the bank, my man.
I could definitely see it. I mean, I'm a little worried about that team going into the playoffs unless, you know, Ekblad comes back in full force, which of course is a possibility, but the East is so strong. I saw something, it was the first time ever that all eight playoff teams in the East are over 100 points. That speaks to their value, you know, in the league at large. So yeah, I think it's going to be tough sledding. I actually think a team like the Avalanche, especially if the Golden Knights miss the playoffs, might have a better path to the Cup final than the Florida Panthers do. But that'll be a conversation, of course, for our playoff preview, which will be coming at you this Sunday. We're looking forward to that. But yeah, looking at some of these other guys, I think another guy case for overall MVP is Kirill Kaprizov for the Minnesota Wild. With everything that went on last year with the drama, with the contract, was he worth it? He's worth that and more. He's one of the top five players in keeper leagues moving forward. And he was a top five fantasy player this year, bar none, right, Nick?
Yeah, exactly. And we did a positional breakdown of potential MVPs. And certainly, like, it was tough to not include a Kirill Kaprizov, whether it be left wing or right wing. I think there's a couple other guys maybe you hold in higher regard. But I just think in general, Pete, for what Kirill Kaprizov has done for the Minnesota Wild in two short years, really putting this team back on the map, it speaks for something. And then on top of that, I think you just look at the numbers. Like, this guy's been impeccable, 100 point season, 45 goals as we speak right now. Like, he really means so much. And the word MVP speaks for itself. I think you think about the face of Kirill Kaprizov, no?
Yeah. And I think there's so many good storylines with the Minnesota Wild in general. You could look at Kevin Fiala being one of the biggest steals. You could look at Matt Boldy being arguably the top rookie forward in the entire league after he was called up around mid-season mark. So yeah, so that's two separate lines. The Wild are going to be dangerous, not only in the playoffs, but even in the future with cap constraints. Remember, they have Marco Rossi coming, Kalen Addison, who Cam Robinson was hyping up on our keeper show. Go back and listen to that last episode. It was a gem from Cam, and I think it'll pan out in the long term with Addison. But like, this team is ready for the playoffs. They're going to be a dangerous out. And then even in the years to come after those buyouts, they're going to be still a major player in the Western Conference.
He likely won't win the award for GM of the Year, but Bill Guerin, you are getting a shout out on this podcast. Pete, we talked about it on the deadline. We talked about it on NHL Network. That Marc-Andre Fleury guy, pretty damn good at goaltending. And then you look at Vegas, you're like, huh. But they're 15-1-3 since the deadline, since acquiring Marc-Andre Fleury. Because not only did it elevate their backup goalie position or secondary goalie position, it helped move along Cam Talbot. And he's been another fantastic story. I would watch out for Minnesota. And I'm not sure about you. I cannot wait for the Wild and Blues here in the first round.
Yeah, it could be a lot of overs in that series, even with good goaltending. And Ville Husso, if we're talking about breakout goalies of the year, he's going to be put to the test in that first round series. But I mean, save for a couple of blips on the radar throughout the season, he's been one of the most consistent goalies in the league. He's been a top 10 finisher this year when he was not even being drafted. On average, half of the fans out there didn't even know who he was. He unseated Jordan Binnington, and the rest is history, right, Nick? So Husso, arguably breakout goalie of the season. There are some other guys out there. I really like what Ottinger did for the Dallas Stars. You know, they're on the verge of the playoffs. We'll see what happens this final week, but Ottinger got rid of that competition with the four goalies, right? And emerged to the top here.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, right? Like, that was the consensus conversation in the fantasy community, is like the four-headed horse potentially in between the pipes for Dallas, and how they had to send Jake Ottinger, the American Hockey League. And Pete, right away, you and I speculated and said, no, you got to get Ottinger up right away. And I just wonder where Dallas truly is. And I do get, like, they're likely still going to get in here into the Stanley Cup playoffs. Where as a whole they would be if they just had started the season with Jake Ottinger as their number one. Because I think this guy's been ready for like a year and a half. He's proving it. I know he sputtered a bit as of late, but certainly from a waiver wire perspective, I think a lot of fantasy owners, myself included, found gold when Jake Ottinger was there, and he pretty much stole the crease in Dallas, right?
He did. A bunch of injuries in Dallas, of course, with Holtby, and some production downswing with Khudobin, and Ben Bishop had to call it a career. They even had to go to a fifth goalie with Scott Wedgwood. Shout out to him down the stretch for being a viable backup after he got traded twice this year. So he ended up in Dallas. Funny enough, good opportunity for him down the stretch. But Ottinger, one of the best 25 and under goalies in our rankings, behind only, I believe, maybe Swayman and Spencer Knight. So pretty high praise for him. Dallas kind of has its older guard, but still the young core on the Stars, right? Robertson has replicated what he did last year. Rupe Hintz, slow start, but then when Robertson came back, has been one of the most dynamic forwards in the entire league, and Pavelski re-signed there. So that line's not going anywhere for next year. So keep tabs on them and try to get some good value if you can on the Dallas Stars top line. One of the very best line trios in the whole league.
Oh, they're phenomenal. And speaking of phenomenal positional MVPs, I think we have to include the name Johnny Gaudreau. You talk about ADP, Pete, 55. As we speak right now, 39 goals, 72 assists, 111 points, plus 61. I got people filling up my mentions and my tweets saying, hey, Johnny Gaudreau should be involved in the Hart conversation. I totally agree. I, by the way, can't wait to see what happens in the free agent sweepstakes. But this guy's been an absolute monster. And this is a theme too, like considering where some of these guys were drafted to where they laid out. I don't know if you want to call them sleepers or stronger sleepers at that, but Johnny Gaudreau to me has been one of the more impressive and improbable stories of this fantasy season. Again, considering where many people took this guy.
And what about that narrative that, Daryl Sutter suppresses offense, the three top players in plus minus this year. The one you mentioned, Johnny Gaudreau, number one at plus 61. Elias Lindholm, his first line mate at 58, plus 58. And then the second line mate, Matthew Tkachuk, third in the rankings of plus minus. Take it for what it's worth, but it's still telling. I mean, that the offense that that team has put up has been insane this year. And if any line trio is better than the Dallas one, I mean, it's probably the Calgary one. So I think for the fantasy value long term, of Tkachuk and, of course, Elias Lindholm, it's going to hinge a little bit on whether Johnny Gaudreau stays in the offseason. It might depend on the playoffs. It might depend on how the Calgary Flames can move and shake the rest of their roster. They need him for their future. They need him this year to step up in the playoffs. And Johnny Hockey, man, that's going to be the biggest storyline of the offseason because, like you said, he's a top five MVP candidate this year.
He won't be with the Flames next year. He's moving on. Yep. You haven't heard my voice in a while. And maybe I'll say this too about Sutter. Has anyone thought about this? Maybe defense turns into offense. I mean, people who watch hockey, defense turns into offense. So that's why offensively they're a pretty solid team.
So there you have it. Bob Bender says his first words in 6 months, and that's what he's going to cause a storm in Calgary. We get it, and I do appreciate that. I think that does happen, by the way. Hello, New Jersey. Hello, Philadelphia.
Yeah, bye-bye, Johnny.
By the way, I was doing homework for this podcast, which is great news because we cover fantasy hockey. Does half the league, Pete, have like 40 and 40 this season? Like Elias Lindholm, I know he's been having a great year, but then I look, I'm like 40 and 40. It seems like half the NHL is at the 40 goal mark. Like you talk about offense with Calgary. I think it's every team, Pete.
I would say it seems like half of the league is scoring a point per game or better this year, right? Yeah. I mean, almost 50 players. I know some of the guys have only played a few games, but you're looking at really like 40 to 45 players in the league that are averaging a point per game or better this year. Whereas what it was like 6 or 7 years ago when Jamie Benn won the scoring title with like high 80s and points. I mean,
I try to forget about
that. Sniff the top 50 anymore. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I try to forget about moments like that, but you're so right. Like there's just, and that's why I think, and lo and behold, you look again, Connor McDavid's picking up like 3 points a game. And I think going to win the Art Ross trophy. I think you have to put money on that because, again, it's Connor McDavid. Where, Pete, we sit here, he's got 118 points, 43 goals, 75 assists, and you don't even bat an eye. But I just think it speaks to the sheer dominance of Connor McDavid and the expectation in the hockey world that this guy can put up 120 points in his sleep. So I think if you were to talk about positional MVPs up the middle at center, I'm probably going with Connor McDavid still, as opposed to a guy like Austin Matthews, who's had an unbelievable year for the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, I know that Matthews' injury, burned some guys. I also had McDavid. I have him in one league. There was a Saturday night where he didn't score a point where I thought maybe I would lose the matchup. Luckily, I survived. But yeah, you can't be too hard on McDavid, even though he hasn't reached a career high in points per game, still a career high in goals, a career high in points. Totally delivers every single year. Of course, last year when he had the career high in points per game, we were saying, oh, is this guy going to score 150 points? You know, not so fast, but he's still near the top of the league in scoring, and he's doing it, always delivers in that spot. And Draisaitl too. I have Draisaitl in one of my other leagues, and he's a perennial top five finisher. And I think the good thing about Edmonton, we've seen those guys come along in different ways over the course of the year. The Evander Kane signing really provided that team an additional layer to their offense. And hey, if they match up against the LA Kings in the first round, you could be seeing those guys delivering value of top five picks in fantasy playoff pools as well. McDavid and Draisaitl, if they get to round two.
You know, if I talk too long about the Oilers, I get triggered. So I'll just say this. I do think there's value, and we'll have a playoff pool episode coming up. There is value in taking McDavid and Draisaitl, and I will leave it at that. Go Los Angeles, go. All right, P, let's move on to the back end and our potential MVP for defense. You know, consensus would suggest it's Roman Josi, Pete, but for me, I'm going with Cale Makar of the Avalanche. 27 goals, 58 assists, 85 points, plus 47, 36 power play points, six game winning goals. Again, it's really, really close. Like Hedman's in that conversation too, but pound for pound, and there's still room to grow, which is crazy because what, he's 23. I'm going with Cale Makar here.
Yeah, I'll say that again, the Norris Trophy is different than fantasy MVP. Yes. I would give Norris Trophy to Roman Josi because Agreed. Of what he's done with far inferior talent around him. Again, Philip Forsberg's also had a great season with 40-plus goals. Matt Duchene as well, exceeding my expectations. But still, I didn't envision Nashville being a playoff team. He's put that team on his back along with UC Saros from the back end out. So I would give the Norris to Roman Josi. But yeah, 27 goals from Cale Makar this year. Are you kidding me? And, you know, this is a guy that's probably based on the trajectory of the position, three guys averaging a point per game or better this year with Makar, Josi, and Hedman, and Fox just close behind. You're probably going to see at some point in Cale Makar's career, a 100-point season from a defenseman. That's totally within the realm of possibility, right, Nick?
Oh, for sure. And that's one of the things I've been writing about the last couple of days for Sportsnet.ca. Nice little plug for everybody. But somebody's going to hit that mark from the back end. I know it's been a while, all the way since Brian Leetch. It could still even happen this season. But one of those five guys you mentioned, it's going to happen. And again, if you're a gambling person, Cale Makar's got to be on that list because just it's more so who's around him, but also how dynamic the player truly is, where it sometimes looks like he's not even breaking a sweat. Next thing you know, he's got like 5 points. So we're all over Cale Makar in fantasy hockey. And I'll put you on the spot. Is he a first rounder next year in standard leagues, Pete?
Yeah, I think he's got to be with that possibility of 100. Real possibility. So yeah, I would probably take him in the, you know, maybe like the 8 to 10 range, but I would reach for a defenseman in the first round, especially. I mean, we'll see what Colorado does, but they should still be back in pretty good force next year. I know they do have some UFAs, right? Like Burakovsky and Nichushkin. We'll see which one they bring back. A crowded blue line, but it hasn't mattered, right? Devon Taves among the plus minus leaders, among the most valuable defensemen in the league based on ADP himself. He went in like the 140s, I believe, Devon Taves. Yeah. And the fact that they could both do that on the same team and not interfere with each other's success makes that a really attractive blue line for the future, including Bowen Byram for the future. You hope he can avoid the injuries that he's dealt with this season for the rest of his career. But yeah, I think he's another guy that's going to put up big numbers in the near future for Colorado's defense.
I can't disagree with that. In general, there's a couple teams around this league where you just smile. You think about fantasy hockey and you smile. Colorado's on that list. Speaking of smiling, goaltending and the MVP for goalies. Shout out to Jacob Markstrom because he sort of came out of nowhere again and returned to his Vancouver form. 9 shutouts, Pete, as we speak. But I'm going to Broadway. Igor Shesterkin, 34 wins, 203, 936, 6 shutouts. ADP of 38. This guy screamed value this season for the Rangers.
Right. To put up a 935 plus save percentage in a season where goal scoring is up, right? Like the league average is like 3+ goals per game, whereas it's much lower in the past and save percentages are much lower. So really this is a historic season for Shesterkin. It's in line with what Carey Price did a couple of years ago. When he won the Hart, and more than a couple of years ago, that was like, what, 7 years ago or something like that. So, yeah, I mean, really, we're looking at one of the best individual goalie seasons of the modern era. We did in our rankings on NHL/fantasy have Shesterkin as a top 10 fantasy goalie entering the season, but he still managed to exceed our expectations, right? It's pretty amazing what he's done. And the Rangers would be a fringe playoff team at best without Shesterkin. Even with their star skaters, they rely on him very heavily, right, Nick?
Shout out Chesty. I think he's just been so important, so vital. You know how I feel about the Hart Trophy conversation. I think producer Bob would like to chime in here, however.
Shesterkin should be considered for Hart. I think that's where you're going. I think that that should be a consideration, and he should be one of the finalists, in my opinion.
I like that. We'll stick with that theme, Pete. Let's hover on over to biggest steals. This is always a lot of fun, whether it be drafting or picking up guys on waivers. There's a flurry of them. You know, I put out a tweet on Monday asking for some mentions, but I think you look no further than two names, and I'm talking about Broadway, Chris Kreider, Nazem Kadri on that list for me, Pete.
Right. You could have gotten Chris Kreider outside the top 150 overall on average in preseason drafts, and he dropped 51 goals as of record time. Still a couple of games to go for New York, but yeah, amazing stuff. He's really become like their most valuable forward, even over Panarin and Zibanejad. Those guys are not going away anytime soon, and they're still dangerous in any given game. But what we've seen from Chris Kreider and his maturation, it's amazing. And another guy that we has really delivered, another guy that's really delivered for fantasy managers is Timo Meier. And like Kreider, it's a guy that we've seen a lot of in the past, but really like coming of age, total beast, scoring in all situations. And in Meyer's case, totally carrying a team that otherwise would probably be a lottery team without him.
Yeah, certainly. And again, Meyer putting maybe the final sword in the season of the Vegas Golden Knights and Pete DeBoer and company in that game, tying it. But certainly Meyer's a guy identified as a potential bounce back file this season. So happy to report I hit on that. 35 goals, 76 points. You talk about ADP, like imagine just drafting a guy, taking a flyer on a guy. Next thing you know, he's got, you know, 35 and 41, or in Chris Kreider's case, ADP of 152, 51 tucks. I mean, this guy all season long has been in the race for the Rock or Richard. That's unbelievable value. And I always say this, Pete, it's pickups like this, it's draft positions like this, taking flyers on guys that really put a roster over the top, because you add these guys to your studs and you're feeling good about life, no?
Yeah, and this is why you always have to look at that preseason hits guide that we do, because Kreider was on it, Meyer was on it. They always cover hits and shots at a high level, and they still had untapped, unforeseen potential in terms of their offense. So, I mean, if you had those guys, and Kadri is another one. Like you mentioned Kadri, what he's done when MacKinnon was missing, when Landeskog was missing, he's moved up and down and all around the lineup and has done an amazing job. First power play as well when he's healthy. So yeah, Kadri, I mean, I think you could have gotten him in the 130s on average, has been a total home run this year in his contract year, as has Johnny Hockey and Philip Forsberg, right? So contract year, Alberga hit a couple of home runs this year, hit a couple of grand slammies.
Yeah, I did hit a couple of those, but also ones where you're like, I had no clue this is going to happen. Like, I want to stick in Nashville. Matt Duchene, come on. 41 goals, 40 assists, 81 points as we speak right now, an ADP of 153. That's a flyer with a capital F, is taking a flyer on a guy we all thought was finished. But what a story. Nashville's going to make the Stanley Cup playoffs, and it's behind two veteran centers, if you want to call it that, in Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson, who, Peter, both on my list for biggest steals. But again, you're right. Even Philip Forsberg, just the bounce back season he's had, conveniently enough, in a contract year. Surprisingly, there's been a lot of value to be found in Nashville this season. I couldn't even get it out because I'm so excited about these guys.
Tanner Janot, one of the best category coverage rookies, probably the best, and leads all rookies in goals last I checked. So yeah, he's been a stud as well. You're going to see Tomasino play a big role for them in the future. Roman Josi, one of the most valuable players to his team, like we said, and even Granlund bounced back a little bit, tapered off midway point of the season or so, but was also very valuable in fantasy without a doubt. And then, you know, there are also some other guys that I think came completely out of left field this year. Wanted to give a shout out to three. Tage Thompson, 36 goals last I checked. Jesper Bratt, New Jersey Devils, was their most consistent forward when healthy. And Ryan Hartman, Minnesota Wild, took that number one center job with Kaprizov, with Matt Zuccarello, and made that line a top 15 line in the league this season and helped Kaprizov get to 100 points. Kaprizov carried that line, right, Nick? But I think Hartman's breakout out of nowhere and Zuccarello's best numbers of his career, they were a helping hand to Kaprizov in the end.
You talk about late bloomers, Ryan Hartman. Like, I used to laugh and chuckle and call this guy Mr. Central Division because every year he had a new Central Division team. But man, oh man, has he really found a home. And again, Bill Guerin, you're the absolute man. 33 goals, 29 assists, 62 points, an ADP of 135. Again, value with a capital V. And even, you know, upper echelon players need that insulation around them and just the chemistry built with a guy like Ryan Hartman throughout the season, regardless of what you think of him flipping the bird now and again, as we saw a couple of weeks back. This guy does bring everything from a fantasy hockey perspective because he's got that gritty style too. And that's the best thing about a good majority of these guys, Pete, is that they cover a variety of different categories, not just one, which is great to see if you're in a multi-category league, of course.
Right. And we're talking about so many good things so far, but there have been some disappointments as well at the forward position. Curious to hear who have stuck out to you. And again, a lot of these things, there could be injury related. They could be coaching change related. Like, clearly, right, the Ducharme Cole Caulfield thing was not working out. Then he goes out the door and Cole Caulfield breaks out over the course of the season. But I still think Cole Caulfield was a disappointment, as was Montreal. Cup final to missing the playoffs and being one of the worst teams in the league. So I wanted to mention them. Golden Knights, you didn't really get the value because of injuries, of course, on Pacioretty or Stone. Verdict still out on Jack Eichel. We'll save that for next season. I still think he's a 25 and under gem. And there's also like the Winnipeg Jets, to me, were such a big disappointment. You saw flashes of brilliance from them, but you didn't see superiority from any individual player on the Jets fantasy-wise over the course of the whole season.
Pete, I didn't hear you say the New York Islanders, and I'll just leave it at that. Nick, you could pick up right off of that. I know that they had the COVID and all the other stuff, but they've been a disappointment, no doubt.
They have, but, you know, I don't know what I expected from them in fantasy hockey. Like, you know, I was talking about this the other day. Ilya Sorokin, you look at his numbers – they're good again, right? Like Semyon Varlamov, maybe I think clearly didn't reach his value and his potential. I think he was in my top five in terms of goalies in general, at least that tandem was. He didn't hit. I think to your point, Bob, Matthew Barzal, whose ADP was 59, I think clearly there's another level, Pete. 70 games, 15 goals, 39 assists, 54 points. There's another level for a guy like Matthew Barzal. But Pete, I'm right there with you. I came in this podcast looking to bomb two teams. Number one's Vegas. Number two's the Winnipeg Jets. I've been consistent in saying, and Pete, we can find the recordings. I've said it a billion times. Vegas traded the wrong goalie. I'm going to stay with that. Robin Leonard, 23-17-2, 2.83, 907, one shutout. See you later. Thank you very much.
It's been injury related with Leonard, but even when he was healthy, he was not
exactly
up to par. So he's been a disappointment. He was like in our top three entering the season. Remember, same. We were debating. Yep. It's funny. We were debating Robin Leonard, Connor Hellebuck and Darcy Kemper for number two. And all of our concerns were about Darcy Kemper, but he ends up finishing number two behind Igor Shesterkin and ahead of Andre Vasilevsky in our performance rankings. And then, of course, the other two guys were big flops. I mean, especially Connor Hellebuck. Hellebuck has been a big disappointment, and you can't really pin injuries on that one. There was a coaching change. The team around him was banged up with Wheeler and Ehlers and all kinds of Shifley injuries and stuff like that. But we expected more from the Winnipeg Jets. We expected them to make a wild card spot in the Central Division and the Western Conference, and they didn't get there. Big disappointment in Winnipeg this year.
Absolute train wreck, Pete. You hit the nail on the head. Connor Hellebuck, 28-27-10, a 3 GA, 9-10 save percentage, 4 shutouts. By the way, I have him already identified as a bounce-back candidate next year. I will be drafting him because this guy's uber-talented. I'm just chalking up to a terrible year in general. look at all the files. Mark Scheifele, Blake Wheeler, Nikolai Ehlers stunk up the joint in the first half of the season. Really found his footing, by the way, in the second half. I think by far the most consistent Jet this year was Pierre-Luc Dubois, who had a really, really good year. So in general, I expect a bounce back for the Winnipeg Jets next season. Vegas, I don't know. Another name I wanted to throw into the fire, and this often happens, Pete, with guys who sign big-time contracts, and there was an injury at play here. But 9 times 7, last time I checked, it equals 63. That's what the New Jersey Devils handed out to one Dougie Hamilton. 59 games this season, Pete. 9 goals, 20 assists, minus 17. Woof, woof, my man.
And got outperformed by Damon Severson handily. Yeah. So, yeah, totally agree. He's the biggest disappointment at the defenseman position. And, yeah, I wanted to chime in about the Islanders, what Bobby said. I was disappointed in the way that the team in general played, especially with the structure that Trotz has been known for. The way that that team played defensively and back end out in front of not only Sorokin, but especially Varlamov. Varlamov had pretty decent splits for most of the season and was not getting many wins at all. So, yeah, I've been disappointed in the Islanders. A lot of people like us had them in contention for the Metro Division title, and they are going to miss the playoffs entirely. But they did have a couple of studs in fantasy. Brock Nelson was a stud career year. Noah Dobson, we could say, is arguably the biggest breakout defenseman in the whole league this year, despite that team's offensive ineptitude at times. So there are some surprise stories on the Islanders. And I think they have bounce back appeal. I think Vegas has bounce back appeal as well. But of course, the way they played in front of the goaltendings was not good. That was not Trotz style hockey.
Time to bomb a couple of Edmonton Oilers next. I do think Evan Bouchard is the PPQB of the future, especially considering who their coach is right now. But Tyson Barrie is 62 ADP. I stayed away from that file. And for once in my life, I was right. 6 goals, 32 assists, 38 points in 70 games. And Darnell Nurse, from a point standpoint, was just terrible this season. 9 goals, 26 assists, 71 points. I think we had to temper expectation anyways, Pete, when it came into the preseason. Number one, they played in a watered down North Division last season. Number two, the guy had a career, got paid tons of money. So the expectation for me, at least, was there. He was never going to hit around a point per game, at least this season.
Cam Robinson mentioned it with the even strength production, tied for 15th as of record time in the NHL among defensemen for Evan Bouchard. So maybe next year, look for him to take that step to be the number one defenseman of the future. Tyson Barrie, disappointment. Sam Girard, disappointment, especially with all the offense that was put up in Colorado's end this year. I expected a lot more from Sam Girard, especially from what he did last season. And then, I think wanted to give a shout out, whether we're going to call him top rookie or borderline Norris top five or biggest steal, Mo Sider. We've talked about him extensively, but a lot of people, including myself in the league where I'm in the championship, I picked him up first week of the season, ADP 163.7 for Mo Sider, and Lucas Raymond as well from Detroit, finding hidden value in a team that was pretty bad this year for both of those rookies.
Yeah, I like that. Along with you, like, I took a flyer late in my draft because I needed a fourth defenseman on Mo Sider, and it, you know, really, really worked out. I love those hidden gems where you take a flyer, you know, there's a potential ceiling there. You give it a go and it works out. Detroit in general, I'm really, really intrigued by their future. I just want to throw a couple more names when it comes to busts. You know, I love this category. Andre Palat contract year, Alberga, you were not right on that front. He was on a milk carton for the majority of the season. Maybe he shows up for the Stanley Cup playoffs. Miro Heiskanen, we're still waiting for that next step offensively. We saw a glimpse in the bubble in 2020. Two guys specifically I'm bombing because they were on my keeper league team. Alex Radulov, ADP of 88. This guy has 4 goals in 69 games. So I hope he doesn't play another game this season, if you know what I'm saying. Contract year, still only 35. So I'm bombing you, Alex Radulov. You mentioned Caulfield. The splits speak for themselves. And I picked this guy up on the waiver wire in my keeper league. There's just so many people out there who drafted Cole Caulfield with the expectation at the very least he'd be hovering around the Calder Trophy, and he's been nowhere near, but he had 1 goal in 30 games under Dominique Ducharme. It's been a way different story to his credit. under Martin St. Louis, but I think he's on my bust list, and I can't do this list without some guy in Vegas. You have to give him the benefit of the doubt because he's coming off a serious injury, Pete, but Jack Eichel, 12 goals, 21 points in 31 games, not good enough for me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and especially with how things turned in a positive way for Buffalo the past couple of months of the season, and then to see how that game transpired the other day against San Jose. I mean, it was just like, it's crazy what needed to happen, what needed to go wrong with all the injuries and, you know, Eichel playing on a separate line and, of course, needed some time to work his way back. And I give him some slack in that regard. I don't blame this completely on him, but yeah, still a disappointment. We were expecting point per game or better. We didn't get it for Eichel, especially the last week or so of the season with him going pointless, I believe, in his past four games in crunch time. Two other guys that were disappointing to me, Washington Capitals, they're going back to the playoffs, but I didn't see the secondary scoring from that team that we usually do. So Nicholas Backstrom, a rare fantasy disappointment stamp for him. And TJ Oshie as well. With Oshie, it was more injury related. And there was an injury in the preseason with Nicholas Backstrom, another year older, wasn't playing as much at even strength with Alex Ovechkin. So I guess you could give them a pass. Both guys could turn it on in the playoffs and help them spring an upset potentially. But Washington was a disappointment to me. Actually, more disappointing than those two from Washington, Ilya Samsonov. How many times in the past few years, Nick, did we rank this guy in the top 10, top 15 at the goalie position? And he gets you wins when he plays, but really not anything near the peripherals we envisioned from Samsonov a couple of years ago when he was an up-and-coming guy.
I feel like this guy's like on the Carter Hart track where next thing you know, it's like a decade later and you're still waiting for him to finally hit his potential. That's the amazing thing. And then, Pete, you look at the standings, you're like, oh, 100-point season for the Washington Capitals, Alex Ovechkin doing his thing again. Kuznetsov, a great bounce back candidate. You just wonder if they can put it all together, right? Like, you know, Anthony Mantha certainly in that conversation too. You mentioned Oshie, you mentioned Backstrom. Tom Wilson's had a pretty decent season. And that's why I think they're lurking in the periphery of the Stanley Cup playoffs, where it's like, if you're an upper echelon team, I just wonder how bad you truly want to play the Washington Capitals. Cause you know, A, they've been there before, and B, there's a couple guys who are really, really due, right?
Yeah, and I think Ovechkin, of course, still scoring goals like
guy's a machine.
It's insane. Yeah. He's had a 50 goal season. There were years back where we didn't know if he would ever get back to 50, but he certainly did this year in his pursuit of Gretzky. Looking back at some teams that we expected to make the playoffs that didn't, I still saw a lot of value this year from a couple guys on the Vancouver Canucks, right? Thatcher Demko, one of the best workhorse goalies in the league. Honestly, JT Miller could be called the fantasy MVP for a lot of teams that are still going in the championship round because he has just not let up at all. He was good before the coaching change. He was even better after. He was playing away from Pettersson this year, playing a lot more center. I mean, there's not much else to say other than JT Miller is a top 15 fantasy player based on performance this year, Nick.
And I would just say too, like, I hope both sides figure it out and I hope he stays in Vancouver because I just think it's the right fit. I mean, he showed glimpses on Broadway. He showed glimpses in Tampa. Ultimately, this guy continues to get traded and I continue to wonder why. I think if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So I hope he stays in Vancouver because he means so much to this team. And I think you're bang on. Like, I just think you look at the body of work of the season at JT Miller, he's way overplayed his average draft position. And I think without him, the Canucks are not even sniffing around a playoff spot.
No, it's true. And we'll see if he does get traded, and trades and offseason moves especially are always such a big storyline for fantasy. There were a couple of busts from that group. You mentioned Dougie Hamilton. Philip Grubauer is another one that was drafted. I mean, he was a fade for me, as was Fleury. Yeah, and Fleury was pretty bad before the trade to Minnesota as well. It wasn't his fault because the Blackhawks were going nowhere, but just wanted to mention that those two guys were going way higher than where they finished this season based on performance. And then to look at the success stories from the offseason movers, to go back in time, Sam Reinhart, better than a point per game this season. And then there's also Freddie Anderson, who dealt with an injury down the stretch of the season, but was really right up there among the top five fantasy goalies this year. Who would you give it to? Biggest offseason mover to make a difference, Reinhardt or Freddie?
I would go with Freddie just because of the noise he faced in Toronto. Now, the Stanley Cup playoffs are a different ballgame. I know he's dealing with an injury right now. But what Freddie Anderson has put together in that system, there's like five or six media members there, if that, on a daily basis, asking him about the previous night's game. I think I go with Freddie Anderson. I think he's been really, really consistent this season, Pete.
He has. And, you know, we mentioned some other guys that were surprises in the top five goalies. You mentioned Jacob Markstrom, 134.4 to the NHL shutout lead. So that's ridiculous stuff as well. And then a couple other defensemen that really made a difference. Same team, Rasmus Anderson, Calgary Flames, closing in on a 50-point season on their first power play with all that offense going around. So kind of by association, he's been a fantasy steal. And then look at what Justin Falk has done. Torrey Krug has missed a lot of time with injury this year. They didn't have Letty until the stretch run. Colton Parayko hasn't really put up the points. And Justin Falk's having a career year in terms of points per game. So definitely a round of applause for him. I feel like Falk, Nick, has been in the top 100 overall players all season long, and nobody's really talking about him till the fantasy playoffs.
He's always that guy in the waiver wire that you look at and you're like, ah, do I really want Justin Falk? Because I think you think Justin Falk or the Carolina Hurricanes. But I just think there's obviously a lot of value in this player. There's a lot of production in the player in general. And my St. Louis Blues, I will wrap with saying this. I told you so. Robert Thomas, have yourself a year. I've been pipping this guy since like September. Good on you. One of my steals of the year. Andrew Mangiapane is on that list as well. Jordan Kyrou, Tristan Jarry. But I think Evander Kane, you talk about biggest steals and you know, one of the bigger impacts of this fantasy season, considering a lot of people drafted him, then dropped him like yours truly. But 40 games played as we speak, 21 goals, 16 assists, 37 points. Look at the numbers. Ever since Evander Kane was signed for the Oilers, they have taken off. And certainly it helps when they've rectified a bit their leaky defensive structure and play. But Evander Kane has been one of the more under the radar pickups in the fantasy season this year, Pete.
Right. And to think back to that, what was it, like a 20 game suspension and people were stashing him and trying to keep him on their bench when he wasn't IR eligible and stuff. And it didn't seem worth it at the time. But I think I was looking at that like MVPs tab where the highest percentage of players that are winning their leagues, and Evander Kane was like in the top five. So if you drafted a sound team and then you added Evander Kane in whatever it was, like December or something, I mean, my goodness, he has really paid dividends. Hopefully for his sake, you know, he can either stay in Edmonton longer term or land somewhere else and kind of turn the page in his career after everything that went wrong in San Jose. But he has been a big success story on the ice this year, putting everything beside and finishing for Edmonton.
Okay, you guys ready for a little playoff appetizer? Okay, we're going to do our playoff preview show on Sunday. We'll have Michael Leboff on with the gambling. Got a couple more games in the regular season. Tonight, Dallas-Vegas. Of course, Vegas fighting for their lives. Dallas wins. They're in the tournament. I will take the under 5.5 in that game. And then for Davey Satriano, I think the number's a little out of whack. Give me the New Jersey Devils at plus money on the road at Ottawa. You're going to get a ton of this come playoff time. There's going to be picks flying left and right. And let's start the late season magic with the 2-0 run for Bob Bender here.
Let's hope so. All in all, Pete, what a phenomenal fantasy hockey season. I don't know about you guys. I cannot wait. I'm ready for the Stanley Cup playoffs starting next Monday.
Yep. And there are going to be more surprises that we couldn't have ever seen coming. Again, we're going to have Chris Meaney on this weekend to talk playoff pools. The show will be on Sunday sometime later in the day. And then on Monday, we'll have Leboff on to talk the betting angles and the Conn Smythe Awards. Michael Leboff, by the way, he was all over the Flames from a future standpoint. Even before the Toffoli trade, he was all over that Pacific Division Coach of the Year storyline, including Daryl Sutter. So I wanted to give him a stick tap. He'll be on the show to dish out some more high quality advice. And we're looking forward to that, right, Nick?
We are. And again, just a couple games remaining. I know you're waiting in earnest for that Seattle and Winnipeg game, the makeup game next Sunday, right?
Yeah. So what, no game Saturday and only one on Sunday and crazy Friday night. So we'll have a nice Friday night you know, menu here for to close out the season. And then we'll be back at you over the weekend. NHL Fantasy on Ice playoff preview. We always appreciate you sticking with us past the traditional regular season, fantasy season. And then you got the playoff time and the off season coverage. We're really looking forward to all of that. So for Bob Bender, Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, talk to you this weekend. NHL Fantasy on Ice. Remember, if you won your league, send us a tweet. We'll hit you with a retweet, and we'll talk to you on the other side.